Praise the Lord, worship team, for leading us in worship. Last week, I started a new series on the fruitful life. And we're taking a closer look at the fruit of the Spirit. And we saw last week that what is in us is what comes out. If we have Christ in us, then the fruit that is in our words and actions will reflect Christ. If, however, we just have ourselves and we don't have Christ or His Holy Spirit, then we will see fruit of the sinful nature. Interesting thing about fruit. Who benefits from it? I want you to think about an apple tree. Who benefits from the apples? Does the tree itself benefit from that fruit? The tree gets nothing out of the fruit. Really. Now, it carries seeds, so for more trees to grow, you need to have seeds. So the fruit is helping that tree or the type of apple trees to continue, but the reality is, what benefit does the actual tree have of that fruit? The only thing I could think of is an animal might come along and help fertilize the ground while it's eating the apples. But the fruit itself from the tree, it's not benefiting the tree. And when I think about us as bearing God's spiritual fruit, I want to ask the same question. Who benefits from the spiritual fruit we bear? Let's remind ourselves what that fruit is in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The vast majority of the fruit that we see here is enjoyed by others. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some that we do get to enjoy. We get to enjoy love, but the majority of what the fruit we bear is enjoyed by others. Self-control. It's in its name, self, so obviously that fruit is going to be affecting us and ourself, but at the same time, that also impacts others as well. The fruit we produce because of what the Lord and His Spirit dwelling in us is enjoyed by those around us or those that we encounter. My family and I visited an apple orchard a while back, and there were thousands, I think thousands of trees full of apples. They're going to be picked, and they're going to be shipped all around the nation. If I remember correctly, those apples go all over our nation. Hundreds of thousands of households will see that fruit from that orchard enter their home in some form, whether whole apples or maybe in the form of juice or maybe the apples in a product that is brought in the house. Now think about the fruit of every Christian. That is how we impact our world. Every Christian bearing fruit will have an impact wherever they go. Everyone around us benefits from the fruit. But are all Christians equally concerned with the fruit they produce? Am I concerned about the fruit that I produce? I should be. Imagine every church in our area and every church in the nation, if we all began to produce great fruit, what would that look like? Imagine the impact that we would make for the kingdom of heaven. That is why we're going through this series, because we all need to be reminded of the importance of living what we believe and producing the fruit of our Savior. And before I dive into our first fruit, I wanted to share a prayer with you. pastor and author John Stott, I don't know if you recognize that name, but he would frequently pray a prayer at the start of his day, and I'm going to put it up on the screen. But it's a prayer that many of us would benefit from. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I will live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To pray that prayer and truly be asking the Lord to ripen the fruit in my life. Let that be our prayer as we journey in this life and as we study God's Word. Let His fruit ripen in our lives. What is the very first fruit? It's love. This is the fruit that we're going to be going through and looking at today. And I'm going to apologize in advance. I'm taking a very big topic and condensing it into a 30-minute message. Actually, it's going to be later today, so maybe a 35-minute message. So it may seem a little scattered about, but there are some things that it's important to share. Love is the first in the list for a reason, is by far the most important. In putting love first, Paul is echoing Jesus. In the book of Matthew, when he was asked, what was the greatest commandment in the law? And he responded by not just quoting one commandment, but two. And these were found in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. But let's look at what Jesus says in his response to that question. What's the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. These are commands that we are to do. We should see our lives living these out every moment of every day. If I'm commanded to love God with my all and to love my neighbors as myself, then my words, my attitudes, and my actions better reflect that love. Fruit is visible. Fruit is tangible. It's something that we could see or something that we can understand, we can identify as fruit. To love God with my all, you will see it in my priorities and where my focus lies. You will see if I love God with my all by seeking to study His Word and most of all, to live a life that is pleasing to Him and following His commands. Yes, to love God, we will see that fruit of love in the form of obedience. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you obey what I command. Yet when it comes to loving our neighbors, I would say we often have the most opportunities to show fruit in love in our relationships with each other, right? We're going to see a lot of fruit in our relationship with each other or those around us. We're told to love our neighbor as myself. I'm going off script here. Do you love yourself? We spent quite a bit of time weeks ago talking about humility and looking at the interests of others, to be humble and to lift others up. But to love ourselves is to love ourselves the way God loves us. To love myself is to say, okay, God, He knew me in my mother's womb. He created me. He knows exactly how many hairs or how many not hairs are on my head. But he knows me. I bear his image. I am valuable. He created me with a purpose. He sent his son to die for me. Do I love myself as much as he loves me? I should. So when we talk about loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, I think sometimes we actually have to sit back and say, do I have an accurate picture of how I should be loving myself? But Jesus kind of hits on this a little bit later when he gives a new command, John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So when he talks about loving others, to love our neighbors, we've already had the command that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. But here Jesus is saying, I have a new command for you, to love one another. Well, we already know we're supposed to love each other. So how is this different? Now, the context is loving fellow believers in Christ. That's where this John 13 is found. But a new command? The biggest difference is in Jesus' words. To love as I have loved you is really what Jesus is saying. Love each other as I have loved you. Jesus ups the expectation he has for us to love each other in the way that Jesus loves. Because sometimes we don't always love ourselves the way God would have us to love ourselves. Jesus is saying, here's another way to look at it. I want you to love as I love. For some of you, this may be similar. This is how you love. For others, it may be, I got work to do. Scripture points out over and over again the importance of love. Why is it important? Why is love important? I'd like to read from 1 John 4:8 and look at that answer. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The importance of love is because God is love. You cannot separate them. You can't have God on one side and love on another side. God is love. We're going to look in a little bit at what love is, but to fully grasp what the love is that we're talking about, we must look to God. God is our example of what love is. God showed his love for us in a sacrificial way. It is not self-seeking. God loved us and showed us the fruit of his love in that he sent his one and only Son into this broken, sinful, fallen world so that we might be saved through him. God showed his love in a sacrificial way. And we are able to know love because God showed us love first. God showed us love first. He shows us his love all the time. Yes, he showed his love in the past when he sent his Son who paid our debt of sin through the atoning death and offered us salvation through faith in him. He showed that long ago, but he continues to show us love each and every day. That's not where I wanted to go. John John 3:16, most of you know that by heart, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He continues to show us His love every day through grace and mercy and forgiveness. How many times has God forgiven me this last week? I'm not going to share that with you. So the honest answer is, I don't know. Too much that I can't count. Every day He shows His grace and mercy and forgiveness. He shows us His love, unconditional love, daily. Self-sacrificing. And to think about love in a different way, it's hard when we have a culture that will say what love is. But we really have to look at, okay, what is love to God? Loving is giving. You see, I don't love my wife because of what I can get from her. I don't love my children because of what they can do for me. I don't love this church because what I can get from any of you. That isn't love. Love is giving of ourselves. I give myself to my Lord and Savior. I give myself to my wife. I give myself to my children, and I give myself to this church. That's loving. Loving like God's love for us isn't always easy. It isn't. But don't you think that when God was giving of His Son and then watching Him be crucified and treated the way He did, don't you think that was hard for Him to watch? Knowing He had the ability to stop it at any moment and wipe out this planet. God loved us. Love isn't always easy. Colossians 3:13-14, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Here's another passage that focuses us to look at love in a way that makes us uncomfortable. Love isn't always comfortable. We think love is a feeling. Love is a choice. Love is a decision. Love isn't always easy. It isn't always comfortable. Love is something that we must put on. In this verse, we see that the Apostle Paul calls love a virtue or a good quality. Now, we know love in our current passage in Galatians calls it a fruit. Here we see it a quality. However it's explained, we see that it's important in every part of our lives. Love is intertwined with patience and bearing with one another. It's intertwined with forgiveness, as I already mentioned. Showing God's love means forgiving and seeking unity. Bearing fruit, especially love, will not only be difficult at times, but we must put in the effort. Last week I talked with the children on a children's message on how fruit is grown. A tree has to take in water, has to take in nutrients, has to get food from the sun, and it has to put in all this energy to grow an apple. Trees don't just bear fruit, it takes energy and valuable resources. And just like us, it takes the Holy Spirit in us. And it also takes effort and time and work. And if that isn't bad enough, we're given free will, and sometimes the flesh is screaming out, don't respond in love. And to make things even worse, when you really don't feel like loving, who's going to be right there to tempt you? Don't respond with love. Anger, bitterness. The enemy is right there wanting to tempt us to go in a different direction. Trying to keep us from moving in a loving way towards each other. Christians might think that they can take the easy way out and just try to remain neutral, not really loving, but not really bearing bad fruit of the flesh. Can we do that? Can we be a fruitless tree? Can we be a fruitless Christian? Honestly, I'll tell you, there are people professing to be Christians in this world that believe they can be a Christian even though they do not bear fruit. Some believe that love is optional or only applicable in some areas of life, to which they can pick and choose when to show love. I think it was last week. Oops. I need John 15. I guess I don't have another one in there. John 15, 2. He says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. There's so much. There's no such thing as a fruitless Christian. James puts it another way. Fruit without works is dead. You've heard that before. Faith without works is dead. This brings me back to 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It is not for us to pick and choose. Love can be difficult, but I am so thankful that God chose to show me love even when I completely and absolutely did not and do not deserve it. I am so thankful that God chose to show me love even when I don't deserve it. And He does the same for each and every one of you. Because of that love, I must pass it on. God's love is not meant to be kept or hidden. It was meant to be shared. So moving on in my next part of my message, I'm going to move a little different direction. What is love if we were to describe it in some of its attributes? I know I mentioned love is shown in grace and mercy and forgiveness, but what are some other descriptors of loving others with godly love? What does that look like? And I'm going to get to that in a moment. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a work in progress just like everybody else when it comes to showing fruit, especially fruit of love. And that's why it's vital to really look at love from multiple points of view. And as I said last week, let's evaluate what our fruit looks like. We might be tempted to point out where other people's fruit falls short. That might be a temptation, because we're good at inspecting other people. But I'm talking about looking at our own fruit. I'm pretty sure that we have enough fruit issues of our own that we should be looking at. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:4 and see some of the descriptors of godly love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Wow. That got me there. Should I read on? Love is kind. Well, these are just other fruits of the Spirit too. So you can't separate some of these, because love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Now we're getting back to humility again. It is not rude. Sometimes there's a lot of rude people in this world, and it's just easy to be rude right back, right? It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Now we're kind of getting to the heart. Keeps no record of wrongs. Does God really know what they did? Can I really just walk away and not keep a record? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. My love might fail, but God's love, that's what we're working toward. God's love does not fail. This is a good expression of love, the qualities of love that we should see in our fruit. I don't know how you can read this list and not feel the weight of the areas that we fall short in. It's not the weight of condemnation. That's not what I'm saying. It's the weight of knowing that God is still working in us. God is still working in me and giving me opportunities to show beautiful fruit if only I release myself to Him. Love is not taking. Love is giving, and it does so sacrificially. And if I think about the fruit of the Spirit, love comes first because God is love, but also because many of the other fruits depend on the presence of love. Depend on it. But I want to share just a few other things, taking another step in another direction of some things that are not love. And there's a lot more that I could add, but I'm going to just do this quickly in this list. Love does not delight in evil. See, in this list here, it says, love does not delight in evil. It doesn't delight in sin. God gave us boundaries. God tells us plainly of activities and things that we are not to take part in because it's sin. God gave us boundaries because of His love. Sometimes, when we love others, we too might have to set boundaries. We often think of parents who have to show tough love to children who want to go their own way. Love is not permissiveness, meaning love does not allow anything to go. Oh, you want to do that? Oh, go right ahead. I love you. You're heading towards hell, but I love you. Okay, that's permissiveness. That's allowing anything to go. Love is not that. Love is saying, I love you so much that I cannot allow you to do this around me. I love you so much that I cannot take part in this activity with you. I love you, and because of that, sin will not be allowed to take place in my area of influence. Love might be allowing consequences to set in. And the first thing that comes to mind when Junior gets in trouble and ends up in jail, do we rush off and bail him out right away and say that's love? Happens a lot. Sometimes Junior needs to sit in jail and think about his consequences. Sorry. That's my past deputy talking. But to an abused person, whether they're a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse or a child, I can tell you, love is not allowing the abuse to continue thinking that you are showing them love. And the list can continue on. I've hit on several areas of love, and it's so important to realize that love is not just a feeling. It is an action that is exemplified by God through Jesus Christ, and we carry that on. Love is choice, and sometimes we confuse it with a generic way that we use the word love in our English language. When I say I love God or I love my wife, that means something entirely different from when I say I love pepperoni and green olives on my pizza. They are two completely different things. Yes, I do like green olives and I do like pepperoni on my pizza. So as we look at love from a godly perspective, we look to Christ and His Word for our example. And to close, I want to share one last verse about love, the one that I want to leave you with, and that's John 13:35. John 13:35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. God is love. And if we have given our lives to Christ, and we belong to Him, He's our Master, then our love for one another should be the strongest. And it should be seen by anyone that comes across our path. Should anyone come in this building, they should see that we have a love for one another like Christ. If we are disciples, then love is a big part of that. There shouldn't be any doubt of our love for one another. If there is room for people to go, I'm not so sure they're a loving church. I'm not so sure they're a Christian. They don't really love each other. Then we got work to do. And that may mean setting aside ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to actually work in us, allowing Him to convict us of areas that need changing. I think I might have said this last week. The Holy Spirit, He guides, He convicts. He directs, but we're the ones to put into action what He's leading us to. We're the ones that put in the effort and follow His direction.